It's Sports Talk with Dan Rennie and Elijah Blair. Catch the boys for a unique insight and extensive breakdown of this year's NRL season on 98.9 FM. Take it away, boys.
Well, g'day and welcome to another week of Sports Talk. My name is Dan Rennie. Alongside me, as always, my partner in crime, my right-hand man.
G'day, mate.
Elijah Blair. How are you, brother?
Yeah, I like that intro as well for our ad. Yeah. Elijah Blair.
Elijah Blair.
Really blown out. Thanks, Archie.
Very good, very good. Well, this is the time of the year that we all get excited about. Of course, it is finals time in the NRL and, of course, grand final weekend in the AFL. And I tell you what, it's probably not the grand final that most expected or wanted, but this is what we have. It is Richmond versus the Giants. Of course, the Richmond Tigers and the GWS, Greater Western Sydney Giants, who got that that win last week, of course, to get them into the grand final against Collingwood. Many were thinking Collingwood, the hot favourites, would be there, but it wasn't to be. The Giants now take on Richmond at the G for the big one. It is, of course, grand final parade day down in Melbourne. They get a public holiday, Elijah.
Lucky them.
Oh, no.
They get one for the NRL grand final.
Well, they get that. They get the Melbourne Cup as well. What do we get? We get the Queen's friggin' birthday next week. What are you going to do? Anyway, they got it all happening from down there in Melbourne, and, of course, it's going to be a big one tomorrow at the G. Our broadcast kicks off from 12 o'clock and we'll be going right through to the big game. But joining us is the man who's been there since day one with AFL Indigenous Broadcasting, one of the greats of all time as well, Mr. Ronnie Rogers. How are you, Uncle?
Hey, g'day, boys. Fantastic to be chatting to you today and really looking forward to the grand final this year.
It's going to be a good one. What do you think of the teams that we've got there in the grand final? I mean, third and sixth, probably not the way that everybody saw things going. You know, Geelong falling apart, as did the Lions and Collingwood as well. So, you know, a few of the big guns that were dominating throughout the year, not there. But Richmond, on the other hand, they've been pretty handy throughout the season. And GWS have done enough to get there.
Yeah, you're spot on. Richmond had a bit of a lull mid-season when they lost a number of players through injury, but they've bounced back really well. They've won their last, I think it's 11 in a row since that mid-season slump, if you like, although they were certainly undermanned at that stage. And even though they finished third, their ladder position probably belies just how good their form was in the last 8 weeks of the season. For the Giants, I mean, they've been a bit up and down as well. They've also had some personnel issues. But the good news for the Giants is just about everybody is back for the grand final. Richmond, of course, won't have Branch. He's gone for the season. But interestingly enough, boys, there's a man who's going to make his debut in a grand final. It hasn't happened for 67 years. And Marlon Pickett from Richmond, who actually won the medal in the VFL grand final last weekend, is going to line up for his first senior game of footy in the grand final.
Wow, what would be going through his head? How would he prepare for, you know, the biggest debut of in history, I suppose?
Well, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Look, he's had some personal challenges in his life, so I'd expect, because he's not a, well, I say he's not a young man, he's a young man compared to me, but in footballing terms, at 27, he's quite mature. So, yeah, I think he'll take it pretty well. He's extremely talented, he's hard and tough. And he's well seasoned. He got a great game in the grand final in the VFL, and as I said, won the medal. So he'll have nerves. There's no doubt about that. But I think he'll pick it up at the speed of the game, and I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, Ron, just looking back at GWS and their chances of, you know, causing an upset, and looking at their run, the Lions, the Pies, now they got Richmond in the finals. Fairly tough run. How plausible is it, GWS getting the upset?
Well, there's no doubt they're going as good as they've been in some time, because Toby Green returns from suspension, so they beat Collingwood without him. And also Lachie Whitfield, who had appendicitis. He's had the appendix removed and is now returning to the side as well. So he's a running machine, Whitfield. He's a very valuable player in Green. Although he can be a bit of a bad boy, he's got untold talent. He is such a good goal scorer, and he's so elusive. He's hard to match up on because he can play pretty tall, but he can play small as well. He's just a very, very talented player. So he had them into the Coleman medalists, Jeremy Cameron, and some of their midfield, and De Boer, of course, who will play in the mids and more than likely have a tagging role on Dustin Martin. You'd think it all sets up for a pretty good contest.
Yeah, you said, of course, Toby Green is back for GWS. He's had a checkered career, and you know, in particular the last few weeks in the competition. You know, serving a suspension, but you know, will he be targeted to you know, to put off his game, get him on tilt, and you know, get that niggle happening around Toby?
Yeah, it's interesting. He said, or his coach said, Leon Cameron, that he wouldn't tone down his aggressive tactic. This is Toby Green, and you know, he plays on the edge. There's no doubt about that. Many thought he was very lucky to get away with what he did the week before he was suspended. So, you know, big game, big crowd. It doesn't get any bigger. I don't know that he'll be able to control himself, but we'll wait and see. And let's hope he plays, you know, on his football merits, because he is a very talented footballer. And if he can put that other stuff aside, I think he can be you know, almost a match winner in his own right.
Yeah, well, Richmond are red-hot favourites, and, you know, deservingly so as well. When you look at the form of people like Dustin Martin, as you mentioned, he'll probably be targeted for a tag. Basher Hooley, who was amazing last week, and Prestia as well. They're, you know, just magical.
Yeah, a couple of former Gold Coast players, Deron Prestia, and, of course, Tommy Lynch, who's come down also from the Gold Coast, and he'll play in his first grand final. But he was dynamic against Geelong, kicked 5 goals. Deron Prestia was magnificent. Hooley, well, many thought he should have got the Norm Smith medal in 2017. Of course, he missed out, but he's in red-hot form. They've got good players all over the ground, Richmond. That's why they've been able to make their way through to their second grand final in 3 years. Probably unlucky not to be playing their third, because they were just beaten by Collingwood in last year's preliminary final. So they are a very, very good outfit.
Well, we have a all-star cast for the game tomorrow, kicking off at midday with the pre-match. We're going to have Barry Denner on there, a few other old heads that have been a part of the AFL Indigenous broadcast team right throughout the year and for many years. That'll be a whole lot of fun. And then, of course, the big one with yourself, Tony Armstrong. How good's Tone going?
Oh, mate, he's taken to the media like a duck to water, and they love him. He's a pretty handsome-looking bloke. I pale in insignificance against him, unfortunately.
It's the mo, I think, Ronnie. The mo finishes him off.
That's for sure. And we've got some terrific special comments people tomorrow. Josh Hill will be part of it, former Bulldog, former Eagle. Also, Nathan Lovett Murray. Andy Cracker, how good's he been this year?
Absolutely.
And, we're really looking forward to it. It should be a wonderful occasion.
Yeah, you mentioned those guys with Josh Hill, Chrissy Egan as well, Nathan Lovett Murray will be joining the team. And yours truly, pushing all the buttons, making your boys sound good.
Yes, well, that's the important part, because I need all the help I can get those days. it's a great occasion. I've been really fortunate. I would have to thank Andrew Underwood and the entire team at AFL Indigenous Broadcasting for giving me a guernsey in another grand final. I've called my first one in 2000, so it's 19 years since I called my first grand final, and it's fantastic. It's a great occasion, and as a broadcaster, it doesn't get any bigger than this, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Ronnie, mate, we've got to grab a prediction off you. Who do you think's going to get the win?
Yeah, give it to us.
I think it's going to be close, but I'm going to go for the Tigers by 12 points.
Oh, that'll make the Tiger Army happy. It's going to be a great game. Weather-wise, Ronnie, did we say a bit of rain around today and maybe tomorrow?
Yeah, look, they're saying showers today for the grand final parade. They're saying tomorrow that front will pass, but it will be quite cold. Stubbly in 16, but they say it's going to be a dry day. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
Well, there he is, the great one, Ron Rogers. And we're going to go out with some of your highlights, Ronnie, from throughout the year. There's been a lot of those, but we've been able to whittle it down to just a few of your best moments there.
You're very kind.
Thank you, Ron Rogers, AFL Indigenous Broadcasting. Have a great call tomorrow.
Appreciate it, boys, and you enjoy your day as well.
That look that lit me down easy smile. Don't act like I couldn't see you coming for 100 miles. Don't try to find a perfect words, can't take the pain out of the hurt. Hit me hard, baby, I can take it. It's your move, go on and make it. Make it burn all the way down. Shoot me straight. I got some friends who love to go away somehow. A couple old friends to help me pity you feel well. There's plenty of time for alcohol from happy hour to last call. So do what you gotta do so I can get to get over you and make it burn. Hell of a heartache, so pour it on like a shot of whiskey and shoot me straight. Don't give me that salt shaker and lime. Don't give me that comeback chaser this time. Don't muddle it up, don't water it down. Give me everything you got right here, right now.
Welcome back to Sports Talk, and a big thanks to the great Ronnie Rogers for joining us for a chat previewing the AFL Grand Final. We've done our AFL. It's time to move
down
on.
Down to business.
Down to business. Rugby league, of course. That's what we're here for. And earlier in the week, Elijah, we were lucky enough to catch up with a couple of the Brisbane Broncos women's premiership players in Meg Ward and captain and halfback Ali Brigginshaw.
Hey, thanks for having us.
No worries. Good to have you here. Fresh off that big win against the Roosters, of course, the grand final rematch.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. It was great to see. And, you know, 10-0 at halftime. What was said sort of in the sheds?
We probably thought there should have been more points, so we weren't that happy attack-wise. There's still a little bit to work on, but defensively was massive. I thought defence was so strong, and we've had some set goals, and we were reaching them, three in a tackle, and that was something that we were really trying to get right, and I think defensively we were very strong.
Meg, Ali, a lot's been said about the Bronx being undefeated so far. Can you talk about that pressure to perform and to stay consistent?
Yeah, the pressure's always there, being defending premiers. I think we're always going to cop it this year. But the talk was about the Dragons, so that kind of took the heat off us and we could just play some footy. We had some 10 new girls, so I think that took the pressure off there. But to get the win over the Dragons in the first week, you know, that brought us together and that was massive for the group. And even the coaching staff, it kind of ticked a box off that we were doing something right. And now we're just building on it. We've set our platform and now each week we're just building on it.
Very hot there at Bankwest as well. See you. The fatigue was setting in, and it was, you know, a very warm day. Very different conditions at Amy Park. Did the conditions play a big part in the way you went out there?
Yeah, I think it did. I think in Bankwest we were able to shift the ball a bit more. And again at Amy against the Roosters, we'd gone there with the game plan to sort of push through the middle, and I think that suited the weather conditions. It was wet and it was raining, so to play that short ball down the middle, I thought worked really well.
Mm-hmm. And coming up against your old teammate, Talisha Harden, what was that like?
you know, when we're on the field, it doesn't matter who we're playing against. Mm. So we love Talisha off the field, but on the field, we're just going to take her as a Roosters players. And that was something that we said before the game is, you know, you can have friends on the other team, but when we're on the field, we're on the field, and we've got a job to do, and that's something we take very seriously. So big cuddles after the game, but yeah, on the field.
Well, the Broncos forward pack, must be said, have really stood up, and, you know, I look at someone like Rona Peters, who's just playing outstanding. Has Corey Parker had a big influence on that, or is Rona just, you know, taking it to the next level at training?
Simon Mannering and Corey Parker have been massive defensively. We've done a lot. We have a strong defensive push at training, and the drills we've been doing have just brought us together, and we're really understanding our roles. I thought our whole middle, our forward pack have been outstanding. I said before we'd played a game they'd be the best forward pack in the game, and they've shown that every week now. I think they're a force to be reckoned with, really, is they're just working together. It doesn't matter age, it doesn't matter how many games you've played. Millie Boyle's in her first year of rugby league, and I think that she's proved to be consistent through the middle, and I think that's just they're all buying together. Steph Hancock, I thought, played an outstanding game on the weekend. I said, you've been running faster than I've ever seen you run.
She was beating me in some of the sprint drills, and I'm a winger.
She does say when she's enjoying football, she plays her best, and you can see that when she's playing. She's playing outstanding at the moment.
Meg, I'm wondering if there's a bit of a healthy competition going on with the Broncos outside backs. There's a lot of depth there. Can you talk about the competition that exists, maybe at training?
Massively. There's so much competition. Even the girls that sort of are just missing out on that top 18, there's a couple of girls there that are so good. We got Taylor and Tamika Upton. We got Rose as well. So there's some really big talent pushing through for the outside backs, and that's really good because I think it makes everyone need to work really hard week in, week out to hold your position. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting to see all the new talent coming through. Every year there's more and more girls coming through. So, yeah. It's tough, and you got to work hard for your positions, but I think that improves the game.
Well, a big test for the Broncos forward pack will be up against the Warriors. You know, you're talking about form and you know, the great forward packs in the women's premiership, but look, Warriors, not going to be no easy task.
Playing the Warriors is never easy. Playing against any New Zealand team's never easy. They've always got this fight and will to win, and aggressiveness is something that they'll bring, and you know, it's do or die for them, and it's something that we're waiting to take on, and the first 10 minutes will be very tough, but I think physically and with our fitness we can get through the 10 minutes that they throw at us, and it's just we got the same goals, and like I said, whoever we take on, we've still got the same goals that we want to get by. So yeah, they'll definitely bring it, that's for sure.
Ellie, I was going to ask you where do you think the game's going to be won and lost against the Warriors? Obviously that opening 10 minutes are going to be very important, but where's the game won for the Bronx?
All our games will be won defensively, and that's something we've been massive on. We got to think a few things to work on in attack. We weren't perfect on the weekend, and we got little things we're trying. We've got some new plays we're going to throw up, and that's something that we probably won't. We'll tie them in the middle, but we'll probably go around the outside this weekend.
All right, any more, any more chip and chases, Ali? That was just spectacular watching that. And that's the kind of thing you do on the training field when no one else is around, and it comes off maybe 5 out of 10 times. That was just amazing.
You just practice them at training every now and then, just as a joke if you're doing like a touch drill or something. But yeah, you got the right bounce, and it was my night that it bounced up in my hands. But yeah, they're just one-off plays. I noticed the fullback was in the tackle, so I knew she wouldn't be back there, and yeah, I was lucky enough to get that bounce.
If it doesn't go right, does the coach give you a bit of a tongue lashing?
I think he lets us play how we play. Obviously, if they would have picked it up and ran the length of the field, probably something might have been said. But you know, defensively, I knew my team would have my back, and everyone chases. We've got one of the best kick chases I've ever seen, so I knew if I'd put it in behind there, whether the bounce went my way or not, we'd defensively hold them there.
Playing at the SCG, you know, very different conditions to playing on a standard field. I mean, do you have to prepare differently for that?
No, not really. I think you prepare for every game the same, each week in, week out. Like Ali said, we've got our structures that we've got to stick to, so I don't think the field will affect us too much. And the conditions, we played in windy and rainy now, and we've played in a hot summer's afternoon. So I think we're pretty much prepared for most things. And I don't think the field will affect us too much.
What about the support for the Women's Premiership? I mean, it's been huge. I wouldn't say are you surprised, because we know the quality of the football being played, but are you thrilled to see the support and everyone getting behind the women's game?
Definitely, and it's not just about getting support behind the Broncos. I think every team have their support, and that's about building those clubs and getting them to support their women's team also. And from what I see, you know, there's Dragons fans supporting their women's teams. Wherever you go, there's always, you know, the fan base. I thought the Warriors had a huge fan base over there in New Zealand on the weekend, and that's what it's about. It's about growing that fan base, and we can't move on to standalone games in big stadiums yet, because we're still building our support. And you know, every game we're just building on it, trying to get more supporters there and just people to watch the game. I always say don't judge the game until you watch it, because I guarantee you won't turn it off.
Absolutely.
We play old school footy and we play hard, and I think the first two games have really shown that we can do what people think we can do and just be footballers. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. We love the game, and I think we play the game in the right spirit.
Chime in on that one as well. I think it's been really funny. My nan's been really pushing it at a retirement village. And I think they were all stuck in their ways. Yeah. A bit of, oh, it's a boy, it's a men's sport. And they've been watching the last couple of weeks, and nan's saying, oh, they all want you to come to bingo. And they're all so excited. So I think the variety of people watching is getting real, like kids.
It is like that old school style of footy. And you know, I was going to say, just quietly, I think the blokes could pick a few things up about going back to how football used to be played without overthinking it too much and playing a bit of eyes up, you know, like your fantastic try on the weekend. So, you know, it's great to watch, and hopefully, you know, we get more people supporting it and heading out to the games and cheering the ladies on. Good luck against the Warriors this week, and hopefully we'll see you there at Grand Final Day.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks for having us.
And how fantastic are they? Just lovely, lovely women. So proud of what they do, passionate for the jersey that they wear, and of course, passionate for the women's premiership, growing it, and you know, pegging alongside the popularity of the men's game.
Yeah, fantastic ambassadors for the game. And as we mentioned previously, they had a lot of time for us as well. We got some photos afterwards, and probably the first time in a while I've been starstruck by a player.
Yeah, they're fantastic, and of course, wish them the best this weekend against the Warriors. Well, we're looking forward to a couple of big games, including tonight, Elijah. It could all end for the Bunnies, and it could all end, of course, for Canberra. Telling me you saw those green sausages float around?
Filthy. They don't look clean to me. I don't know. Who started it?
I don't know, but whoever did it. And the green milk as well. I mean, the only green food I'm eating is vegetables, I'm afraid. Those sausages just look putrid. But anyway, that's Canberra for you. They're passionate mob down there. Sold out GIA Stadium tonight. Look, it's really going to be a task for the Bunnies to get the win tonight, but they've got the right pieces in place. You know, of course, a great halves combination, great forward pack, a terrific coach. So, you know, a few little question marks I do have. Dane Gagai's defence. He was shown up last week against Moses Suli, who you know, in the end was shifted to the other side of the field to accommodate that. So, look, as great a player as Dane Gagai is, I think, you know, that hamstring's really slowed him up a bit.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough to poor old Gags coming off a hamstring injury and then having a mark up on Moses Suli, who really hasn't hit his straps yet. I think he, towards the back end of the season, found some form. But I want to talk about the Rabbitohs' preparation. You mentioned the master coach, and I think he's prepped them well going into the week. Earlier on, reports coming out that he's asked his players to go down, just to travel down by themselves, find their own way down there. They'll meet up on Wednesday and go from there. But what do you make of that tactic of not taking the team bus or the plane? I mean, does it mess up the routine? Because I think it's a great approach.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're all grown adults. What I used to like about when you're playing and traveling together is that, you know, you're getting on the bus and going as a team. But I don't know, it could be a masterstroke. It's who knows? He's been doing this a long time, so it's, you know, there must be a method to the way that he thinks, because, you know, he's been there, done that more than anyone else.
And thinking of sort of that, you know, that speaking of that mentality, I think about the Rabbitohs and how they play better as outsiders.
Yep.
And we've seen them in the past where they've sort of upset teams, Manly in particular, going back a little while now. But there's a big upset there, and I think we could be on for an upset tonight. I think it's primed for an upset.
Well, Josh Hodgson has been talking down Canberra's chances. You know, they are real favourites tonight, but they're saying that the Bunnies should be favourites. They've got a lot more finals experience, all that type of stuff. You know, the Raiders haven't played semi-final footy in 3 years, but, I mean, they're playing at home. Can you imagine that Viking clap tonight? That's going to lift the team. The form of Leilua, Rapana, Jack Whiten, you throw Caesar in the mix as well. Like, the class across the park, Josh Papali up front, Horsburgh off the bench, who's been electric. You know, they're a great side, Joe Tarpany. So, look, I can't really see the Canberra Raiders not being favourites in this one. I don't think finals experience really has a lot to do with it when you get to this point of the season. And to think back, only 3 years ago, they were only a game away from a grand final. And, you know, a lot of that core team, minus, I suppose, John Bateman and a few others were there and thereabouts. So.
And they fixed their fading problem. Obviously, last year they faded away late in games where you were calling them the Canberra Faders. Mm. But you look at grand final teams and the teams that have the best chance, they have a great mix of experience, fizzazz, and
I was waiting for it.
Yeah, and I guess a good culture to
if culture's a big one.
Yeah, culture. So I think the Raiders have that, and I think the Roosters have it as well. But I think the Raiders have all the ingredients to making up a premiership side. First time in 25 years, too.
All right, well, I think many will agree that the referees kind of did spoil, what could have been a fantastic game last week. Let's hope the refs put the whistle away, let the players decide the game. Sin bins galore. And let's talk about the five-minute sin bin, Elijah. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, I wasn't around when the five-minute sin bin was happening, but I'd like to bring it back. I think it'd be a good idea, and especially late in the game when it's at the 60th minute, 5 minutes in the bin. It had a different outlook on the game. Jake Jovoyevich, five minutes.
How do you decide what's a 5 and a 10, though? I mean,
they have a criteria, I suppose.
But then we've got to stop the game, work out the criteria. Is that a 5 or a 10? The captain's going to argue. That's a 5, not a 10, sir. Come on.
Well, I mean, a lot of the game's already open to interpretations. Mm. I mean, it wouldn't be out of place.
Let's add some more confusion.
Yeah, let's do it.
Some more grey area that we need. Look, I'm for it if it's done the right way. Do we need a 10-minute sin bin if we've got a 5, maybe get rid of the 10 and just say if it's that bad, you're sitting down.
Or maybe it accumulates 5 minutes first one, 10 minutes the next one.
Yeah, I like it. Elijah, Rookie of the Year, 6 candidates. Hard to go past Mike Acevo. But look, there's Payne Haas. Payne Haas.
I think you have to give it to Payne Haas.
Really?
Yeah, because what he's done in the middle of the park, 19 years old, he's played for New South Wales.
Mike Acevo, top try scorer in his rookie season, though.
Not hard to do on the wing.
Not hard.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're right. Not hard to do, but Payne had the work to do for the Brisbane Broncos, leading that forward pack as a 19-year-old, along with Matthew Lodge. But, yeah, we'll get to Matt Lodge in a minute, but let's kick on. Who do you reckon? Look, they've got Payne Haas, Britton Okora, Mike Acevo, Bronson Sherry, Ryan Pappenhausen, and Reuben Garrick. For you, it's Haas?
Yeah, for me it's Haas, but really there are only three real candidates there is Payne Haas, Sivo and Sherry.
Yeah.
You'd have to think.
I agree, and I think it could be any one of those, and you wouldn't be surprised with any of them, would you?
It's a shame with Ryan Pappenhausen, because if he had played more footy, I feel like he could have potentially been up there with the Mike Acevo. It's a shame, but I think it will go to Sivo, but Payne Haas will be unlucky to miss out.
All right. Back to the Raiders Rabbitohs tonight. We're going to look, the dummy half battle's going to be a real exciting one. We talk about the great number nines in the game, Cameron Smith, Josh Hodgson, and Damian Cook. They're the three, and we're going to see them all in action this weekend. And of course, head to head tonight, Hodgson v Cook. Who gets the win here?
Yeah, look, it's hard to say, Dan. I think both men do different things for their sides. I think Josh Hodgson finds space in and around the ruck with his passing game. I think Damian does it with his running game. But just with that, I mean, both have such effective passing games in and around the ruck. I think it's just a matter of whose forward pack gets on the front foot. That's who'll get the win.
Yeah, all right. I'm thinking, I'm sorry to say this to you because, I know how much of a diehard Bunnies fan you are, but I can't see Canberra losing this one unless they completely capitulate. I think Canberra will win by a close margin. I think it'll only be between 6 to 10 points in it.
Mm. We must start fast. I mean, that's the only chance we have. We can't have a 7-tackle set start like we did with the Roosters. I mean, that was just, it was a domino falling and it was all over.
Can I get a tip from you?
I'm going to go the Rabbitohs in a very close game, but I think, I'm going to go in a close game. I think 6 points in
the man of the match.
Man of the match, Sammy Burgess leading the forwards. And it'll make sense with the whole height with the Englishman in the game. So I'm going to say Sammy.
I'm looking forward to those battles too. John Bateman, Ryan Sutton, et cetera, versus the Burgess boys. It'll be It'll be worth it just to watch that alone, no doubt. We turn our attention to tomorrow, and it is the Storm taking on the Roosters. Many thought these would be the grand final teams. Of course, last year's grand finalists. And we're talking about Will Chambers and, you know, his time coming to an end at the Storm. Benched last week, Bellamy came out and said one of the hardest decisions he's had to make. But we also saw the, you know, the demotion of Brodie Croft to accommodate Ryan Papenhuyzen. Mm. So some late season changes for Melbourne, and you know they must know that this is going to work. It's got to be a recipe that is going to work, because if it doesn't, they're going to look pretty foolish, mixing up a winning formula.
Yeah, well, Bellamy's shown he's not afraid to swing the axe, and I think if anything, it motivates players. And you know, a lot's been said about Will and his attitude as a senior player at the Storm. He wants to do what's best for the team, and I think when you bring a player like Will into the game late, I mean, he can play anywhere. He's a great utility player that can be in the centres, wing, or float around in the forwards. So yep, he's great to have off the bench, and again, a great attitude.
Now, you think the Broncos must sign Will?
I think so. Yeah, it'd fix their centre dilemma, I'm calling it. They've given Jack Bird permission to negotiate with rival clubs. And let's face it, he was never happy there at the Bronx anyway. But I think the Broncos need to sign him. He's a Queensland and Australian representative. I mean, he's
champion,
probably tight with the Queensland players, has some sort of relationship with Anthony Seibold. And it would make more sense to bring him into the side and make him captain for 2020 than it would Matt Lodge.
Ooh.
There you go, brother. There's
controversial. Well, speaking of Matt Lodge, I've said it on the Drive Show, and we've been talking about it the last week or so. I don't feel he should be captain of the Brisbane Broncos. You know, he's coming off that pretty awful event, and you know, he's getting his life in order, but putting the captaincy on him is probably too soon, and I think there's other candidates that would be better suited to that role. Matt Gillette, you've got a smoky on the
I said Corey Oates.
I don't mind that.
It makes the most sense.
I mean, Queenslander, Australian.
Yeah, and we sort of joke in there, it'd be hard to run in from the wing every time when the ref wants to chat. But
come here, Corey.
He would be a better candidate than Matt Lodge. And let's have a look at some of the captains over the years. You know, Darren Lockyer, Gordon Tallis, Sam Thaiday. You know, these
Wally Lewis.
You know, these players who have represented their country and their state, and they set the example, the tone for their club. You know, they're leaders. Unless you know, there's something going on at the Bronx that we don't know, and Matt is a great leader. Maybe he is, you know, with the forwards. But I just don't think it's the best time for him in his career to be a captain. It could derail him entirely.
Absolutely. So. Well, the other big Broncos story is, of course, Brodie Croft, Anthony Seibold having lunch together in Sydney. There's usually fire.
He'll be back.
Yeah,
he'll be up in Brodie Croft. Yeah, absolutely. And there's talks as well about Brodie's relationship with Cam Smith.
Mm.
Something coming out of Melbourne saying that it's their outlook on life.
Yeah, they're different characters and don't really get along. And when you don't get along with your captain, you're in trouble.
Well, I think that's it. Cam Smith is obviously a shot caller there at Melbourne. And I think Cam was always going to resent who come into that seven role, because it was Cooper's job there, obviously. And I think...
He does call the shots. You said it. Smith calls the shots. And I think sometimes when Brodie sees, wants to play some eyes up footy, and he overrides the captain's calls, it can make for a little bit of tension. But yes, you're definitely right, Elijah. Cameron Smith is the number one playmaker in that team.
Just talking about Brodie and how he fits into the Broncos' plans for 2020. How do you see him partnering up with like a Tom Dearden?
Yeah, I like that.
Or Milford.
I think Milford's better at fullback. Milford will go back to fullback, and you know, there's a couple of guys there in Tom Dearden. Jake Turpin will obviously get the number 9 starting spot, and it'll either be Corey Pakes or who's been sensational, this young fella. Corey Pakes and Tom Dearden, who probably has the edge. He's played some first grade footy, been pretty good as well, but partnering him up with Brodie Croft, I think, will be a really good thing for the Brisbane Broncos. Darris Boyd into the centres with your boy Will Chambers.
Right.
That's a pretty good looking team.
Yeah, for sure. And they've got some senior players there, which would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. And Payne Haas, make him the captain. Why not?
Yeah. It makes more sense. I mean, I'll tell you.
All right. Who's going to win this one? You know, we've spoke about Cam Smith and his influence on the game. He'll be absolutely essential to Melbourne Storm getting the win, no doubt.
Yeah, he'll be essential, but I think the Roosters are just too much of a...
Too good?
Yeah, too good. And they're stylistically a horrible matchup for the Storm, who like to play very structured football. The Roosters very ad-lib. Luke Keary, a lot of speed out the back, so I think they'll be too good in the end. Big scoreline, I'm going to say by 16 points.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It'll be a blowout. In the end, it'll be a blowout.
It'll be a blowout, okay. Interesting that there's no Jared Weir Hargraves for... for the Roosters? Will that make a big difference?
Yeah, no Jared Warrior Hargreaves, which is going to be interesting because both teams obviously play very different styles. The Storm, as I mentioned, played a structure. The Roosters more a bit ad lib. So yep. I think whoever fills that role is going to do their job to the fullest. And hopefully we'll see Jared back next week against the Bunnies.
Yeah, I think there'll be a big hole there in the middle. And Nelson Asofa Solomona, the fridge with legs. And of course, his front row partner and Jesse Bromwich will take full advantage of that early on in their first stints, I feel. But you're right, Roosters look too good. I think James Tedesco is wanting to win those back-to-back premierships, and they've come out and said that they want to be the first team since the Bronx to do it.
And Cooper Cronk's last season.
Last game.
We completely forgot about that.
Yeah, last time him and Smith will meet each other.
On the footy field?
Yes, on the footy field, maybe even in real life. Who knows? But I'm going to the Roosters as well. I think it'll be a terrific game. I think it's going to be closer than you think, brother, but I think just a field goal in this one, and it'll be a battle, a shootout.
I'll stand by what I say. Roosters 16 points.
No
Why
worries.
16 points?
All right, well, I can't wait. You're thinking it's going to be a Bunnies-Roosters grand final. Mm-hmm. I've got Canberra and Roosters grand final next weekend. And we're both tipping Richmond in the AFL.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very good. Well, that's us for another week. I want to thank Ron Rogers for joining us. Catch him tomorrow on the AFL Indigenous broadcast of the grand final, kicking off at midday, going right through to 6 p.m. after the final siren. And the
it's a
whitewash
big day for you.
Is a big day, but I love it. I love it, brother. You know me. I'll watch two flies racing up a wall. I love my sport, and I'll be looking forward to pushing the buttons tomorrow. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the AFL Grand Final and, of course, the NRL Preliminary Finals. I'm Dan Rennie. Thank you, Elijah Blair.
No worries.
You've been tuned to Sports Talk with Dan Rennie and Elijah Blair on 98.9 FM. Don't forget, you can download the 98.9 FM app at the App Store and stream Sports Talk Friday nights from 6 p.m. Yeah.